We have 33 applications before us. I've got that correct?
Yep.
For this morning's vote. We have our choice whether we want to interview, God forbid, all 33, or
I vote no.
A smaller number than that.
There's a preference.
In the past, our tradition has been to interview in the neighborhood of 14, 16. And we have, sorry, I'm counting the seats in my head as we speak, 4 open seats. So that would, if we did 16, that would be 4 applicants per seat. We don't need to do that many, or we can do more. But keep in mind that in January, when if we were attempting to do 16 or more, that gets to be a long, long interview process. So I'll just, we'll use our good judgment. We'll see how the votes turn out. The selection procedures are in front of all of us. Is a handout?
Exhibit 11.
I've just asked, just take a moment to review them. It does say in item B that up to 4 for each open seat. Yes, Dave?
Mr. Chair, I thought I might just go over for my own satisfaction the vacancies that we have, the people that are the incumbents that are either leaving or there, just to remind myself as well as the group that there are the 4 seats that are coming open are held now by Marine Ramirez, who has decided not to seek re-election. She is a student seat.
She has no choice. It's a one firm.
But she is not seeking an at-large seat either. She is not running for election, and she does hold the student seat, and she's no longer a student. That is absolutely correct. Venora Hung, who is the 5th Congressional District Representative, has decided not to seek re-election this year. And you may recall, we also had recommended her for one of the student seats 6 years ago, and the legislature decided that she had enough acumen to actually be elected to her own seat. Linda Cohen, the current chair of the Board of Regents, is seeking re-election, as is an at-large member, as is Dean Johnson, who is an at-large incumbent seeking re-election for a second term.
Thank you. You maybe clarified it for yourself, but I know you did for me.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I noticed in the applications that there are a number of applications that are not signed. Some of them are signed with the, what is that, legal little stamp on there that it is actually, but some of them have no signature whatsoever on them. And the criteria that we have, number E, says that no application will be accepted unless it is signed.
Has the state accepted no signature?
As far as electronic signatures for the state statute, a lot of times we go back and ask the applicants to send in signed signature, so if perhaps we didn't match that up, we more than likely had, I'd imagine, for those.
There's a couple of glitches too with the PDFs, so when we transferred them over, the signature would pop away. So if there was a complete blank one, it's been updated, corrected now, but we had a lot of issues with our PDF and saving it and getting on the website, and for some reason, if they inserted their signature, it was disappearing.
And Sally also made mention about the electronic signature, if it's a
valid
within the state
of
Minnesota.
I believe
to
the
best of my interest that it is.
That's valid
in the state of Minnesota.
Is that a satisfactory answer?
If it's been done before and the people come in and sign it, that's, I got no problem with that. Just so, but maybe we should take a look at that one criteria there, and that it must be signed or something at at a date in the future or whatever if they're recommended on.
Thank you. Any other comments as we get started? So what we're going to do this afternoon is, in a few moments, we're going to open up the discussion for the student seats, and we'll discuss the student regent seat first and proceed to vote on the student regent seat according to the selection criteria and the voting method that we use here. These ballots are written ballots. They're not open ballots. And in the efforts of time, as we're counting ballots, we may begin discussion on another seat, another process. If someone has indicated that they would like to be available for more than one seat, they will automatically fall into that category unless we take action to not consider them. But their request was that they would be considered for more than one seat. So we will try to honor that request.
Chairman, I realize I meant to ask this earlier. Are the two at-large seats two distinctly different seats, and someone who applies can fill, is assigned to one? I mean, let's say a person applies and we accept them. They are slated for the Linda Cohen seat or the Dean Johnson? Is that so, or am I confused?
I would like to ask Sally to answer that.
No, I believe generally in the past when the RCAC makes recommendations, they put them all together.
So we would cluster, we might have eight at large. Okay.
Six.
Yeah. Okay.
We technically can send no fewer than six, correct?
Okay.
I think
between two and four.
Right, but if there are three at-large seats,
there are only two at-large seats.
Two at-large.
Well, the student is considered an at-large seat.
Okay, I was mentally thinking there were three at-large.
No, a student at-large and then two other
Okay,
thank you.
So, excuse Mr. Chairman, so do I understand that we would, if we could consider it two at-large, apart from the student, we could go up to six names, and we do not do them by seat, right?
I think we can do
up to eight.
Pardon me, eight. And, okay. So we're not going to do four and four. We'll do eight.
I think we will do
four. That's fine.
Thank you.
I think that makes sense.
But thank you for bringing that question up. Joanne?
On the balloting, since our numbers are lower, it says we need to have 16. Is that going to change? As two-thirds majority, so do you have a different number for that?
That is actually part two, and that's for when you select the candidates you're going to recommend in January. Okay. But I believe the rules of the Region Candidate Advisory Council say two-thirds of the current membership. I think there's only 19 members because five other people have not been appointed. The total membership is 19, and two-thirds of that.
So for this afternoon, we're working under heading number one on the front page. We are going to have a discussion about voting for the January session when we get done. Hopefully, we'll all still be in a jovial mood to discuss.
Yes, when we go through the students, if someone is a zero or a one on our list, or there's just no support for them, you wouldn't automatically move them on to at large and fifth, would you? Or do we need to say we recommend this person not go on? How would you like to handle that? Or do they get just automatically put in the pool?
I think if they're automatically put in the pool, they will very quickly get sorted out.
All right.
All right. And then we fulfill their wishes to be considered for multiple seats. Any other comments on procedure? Otherwise...
Are we looking at 13 then for the majority to pass today then? Based on 19?
Yes.
If we're 19, then we're at 11.
Well, it's just a simple majority of those voting. Well,
simple majority of those voting.
Well, just a majority. Not, we don't need two-thirds.
Majority
19
is 10.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. So, any other comments? So we are opening up discussion, and if I can remind, with open meeting rules, everyone in the audience also has a list of the candidates. So I would encourage you to use use names. We don't need to speak in code as we used to do in past years. So if someone has a relationship, or if there's something about someone that is noteworthy in the student at large category that they would like to share with the group, that would influence the group. Yes.
Chair Duncanson, thank you. I would like to speak in favor of the one of these 20 names that I know, and that's Abdul Amari. Abdul is a PhD candidate. I've had the pleasure of working with him over the last 6 months on a task force that was commissioned by President Keeler. He's a very thoughtful person. He also is a student regent affiliated with one of the committees of the Board of Regents. And so he's familiar with the process. He's African-American, and I think a very capable person.
Thank you. Lois?
To the extent that it's nice to have a student somewhat carry that hat for as close as long as possible in their 6 years of service, and looking to the reference long-term of our healthcare issues, openings, and the magnitude of healthcare within the university complex, Eric Berg is candidate number one. He's heading to medical school, and he's an undergrad at this point. Had some rather astute answers. I just think that, though young in comparison to some of the others, he could bring a lot over the terms of service. He would encourage us to have him be one of the group of students that is interviewed.
Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have spoken with three of these individuals. They called me to ask about the process before they applied. Courtney West is a dual JD MBA candidate. She's in the Carlson School currently. She'll be at the law school next year. And I have talked with her. She's very interested, very active in the life of the university. Kevin Wendt also was very thoughtful in asking me about the process, very interested in following through with this. Evan Vogel, the same, did call me up. I had no objection to that, to determine how this went. I also did get a call on behalf of Mr. Vogel, Evan Vogel, from newly elected Representative Jay McNamara, who is from his home district. And this is Morris, Minnesota, so this is an individual who is a Morris student. And Representative McNamara says that Mr. Vogel went to the campus and got 255 votes he needed to win that election. And so he credits Mr. Vogel for actually having done him some good as a campaigner. I also know Josh Preston, who is listed here, and he did call again to ask about this. I found all of these individuals to be very well astute. They acquitted themselves very well, and so I can speak to that extent on their behalf.
Chairman, could I ask that whenever we identify someone, we say the number, because it would just be easier to find them in a hurry on the list?
Well, I don't have the number.
My list, other spreadsheet, Sonia,
okay.
Yeah, my list has numbers.
Oh, well, I can read out. Let me just mention again, I think they're in alphabetical order here, but Joshua Preston is number 22. Courtney West is number 27. Kevin Wendt is number 28. Evan Vogel is number 29.
Thanks.
And then
Eric Berg was number one.
Berg was number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and I got him.
And Abdul
Omar
is number 20.
Thank you.
Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak on behalf of Christopher Testad. In my previous life at the university in the Office of University Relations, we did a lot of work with student leaders who were actively engaged here in the legislative process. He is a, I believe, biochemistry major. So he also touches on some of the healthcare concerns that were raised by Regent Beeson. Very actively engaged, familiar with the Regent's process, so I speak very highly of him. Thank you.
Lord?
Chair, board members, I don't know any of these people personally, but I attempted to fix an objective score to the application process, and some of these I agree with, but one that I haven't heard is Julia Sleeshe. I think that's how her name is pronounced. And she was, at least on my figures, right up on the top, so I would add her name also.
The ballot has been passed out. That's by no means an indication that we are ready to vote. So, Dave?
In the same spirit as George has presented, I read two additional applications I was impressed with. I don't know these individuals. Adam Chelseth, who is number four, as well as Laura Dorrell, who is down here as, I need my glasses.
Number eight. I had her as well.
Eight.
I don't know Ryan Kennedy, but if he served on the presidential search, somebody must have been very impressed with him. He would be number 13. I don't know any of these people, so, but that means he got sorted out at a very high level within the university.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I'll just add my comments. I also don't know any of the student or applicants for student at large, but the candidates that stood out to me are Abdul Omari, Laura Doyle, Drew Covio. I believe he would be the only one with more of that Native American focus in higher education, and Ryan Kennedy.
Would you go through that list again, please?
Abdul Omari, Laura Doyle, Drew Covio. Am I pronouncing that correct, Covia?
Yes.
And then Ryan Kennedy, for the same reasons that Margaret just listed, stood out. And I would just make a note that Drew's connection to the Native American experience in higher education at the U was really the only one I saw in all the applications and is sorely missing at that level, at the region level.
Just to add a short comment to what she said about that, and when commonly we bring up, we talk about our diversity things, it typically relates to the African Americans and Latinos, and our Native Americans in our state are largely not top of the list. So I think that's a very good point.
And again, that was Drew. Jennifer?
Drew.
Drew.
Seeing no more discussion.
I thought we were going to go through one by one, so I'm not as organized as you are.
Margaret, don't look at me to think I'm organized.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a facilitator.
All right.
The last thing that we want to do is rush the process, because this is why we're here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I appreciate, and I know some of my colleagues have spent a lot more time than I have. I've done a cursory review, but George has got his ranking system, and I know that Harry did. I wonder if we could reverse the process, and if you would call out the names and see if no one says anything about someone, not one person here says they should go on, we might that might tell us something, just to go down that list in that way, so we shorten the list. Does that
we could.
Make some sense to? We've already gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, but I want those that haven't been spoken for yet. We should really find out if nobody's going to speak.
That's where I was going earlier on, yeah. Looking at some of these with no governance at all, even for a student. That's not a good thing. So to sort those out earlier.
I think the balloting may sort them out.
All right.
Well, it would help us. It helped me to eliminate thinking about people. But I'll, Mr. Chairman, you run it the way you'd like.
Well, I appreciate the suggestion, but I think it's unlikely we're going to do this in one ballot. We're going to need multiple ballots.
All right. Let me see who my four
and I think
are.
Some will sort themselves very quickly.
All right. I've got mine.
That works too.
Yeah. But traditions. any more comments? Lois?
I have one that's inappropriate. I also don't know any of these people. And the inappropriate piece is I'm revisiting the party that I spoke about earlier, and that was Eric Berg, who was number one. And I made reference to his potential term at the university and his medical school component. He's an admissions ambassador, and with some familiarity about that personally, he knows an awfully lot about this university because of the fact that he doesn't just work in showing people the medical school. Yeah, and so I wanted to point that out.
I think we're ready to vote. So let's take a moment, mark our ballots.
I have a ballot.
Yes. Does anyone not have a ballot?
This would
be a good time to speak out.
My ballot's free mark. Oh, boy. Four for each.
Yes.
Up to four. So is that the rule? Are we voting up to four right now?
Up to four. So pick four or less.
Oh, gee, that I've been in front of.
If I, just a point of order, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall, the recommendations we make to the legislature is up to four candidates, but we don't need to limit ourselves to the number of interviews that we get.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we can vote up to four, but we may have more than four interviewees in this section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Should we
I'm going to start working on my next list.
I like hear more.
So we shouldn't have signed it?
Sally. Like
oh, Mark will have a second here.
Oh, yeah. But I kept them in order.
I'm out of places.
I kept my students in order.
Did I miss anyone?
I didn't vote.
That was the one we talked about.
While we are waiting for a ballot count, and this won't take very long, I would like to, unless someone has a procedure question, I'd like to open up discussion for the 5th Congressional District. As I'm looking at the list that Sally gave me, I see 14 applicants for the 5th, many of which are student applicants who are also running. Seven of the 14 would be, if I'm doing my math right, are student applicants.
You're going to have to talk a little louder, Patrick.
Sorry. Thank you. We're being... I'm often told not to do that, Margaret.
Oh,
so thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. You just made my day. I would like, as we're waiting for a vote count, I'd like to open up discussion on the 5th Congressional District. We've got, as I look at the count, 14 applicants. Many of which, 7 is the actual number, that were student applicants that are also running for the 5th. And then after we finish our work with the 5th, then we'll move on to the at-large, overall at-large positions. George?
Mr. Chair, again, I don't know any of these people, but there's a couple of them I thought that jumped off of the page. Number 18, Dennis Noyen. I would put his name. And number 26, or I think it's Arturo Tuzco.
Arturo Tuzco. Arturo Tuzco.
Even close, wasn't it?
Well, that wasn't too bad. It took me a couple years.
Without Arturo's application in front of me, is he from Istanbul?
Yeah, I know him very well, and I think it's always important to disclose if you do. He was born in Yugoslavia, raised in Turkey. He is Muslim. He came to the United States for graduate school, and he ran through the ranks of Dayton's and Macy's, Marshall Fields, etc. He had 30,000 employees at one time under his span of control. He was president of the Alumni Association at the university and handled the transition between my leaving and the organization moving on. Absolutely one of the most outstanding people I've ever met in my volunteerism over the last 40 years.
Heard it. Heard yeah. Act of follow. I have spoken with Dennis Nguyen, and I do not know the gentleman, but had a long conversation with him, and he comes recommended by a couple of different people, that including David Metzen, a former regent himself, who has spoken highly of him. And David says he doesn't really know this gentleman either, but as his resume indicates, he does run a company, New Asia Venture Capital. It's an equity private equity firm. He's done very well with himself, and he's a contributor to the university. I also know of Jessica Hassan. I don't know her, so I'm going to butcher her name. But she is a labor representative, and that is one of the considerations we've given in the past, as among the diversity on the Board of Regents, is whether we have labor representation. And she did come recommended from David Stephen Hunter, who was a former regent, as you may recall.
Yes, Sylvia.
I would like to just make another comment about Dennis Nguyen. When I think of Rick Beeson this morning and the discussion that you led about the characteristics we're looking for to help manage a big organization, he seems to be a very strong candidate, not only in his business life, but part of his success in being able to have resources is that he's endowed chairs at various colleges and universities, and seems like a live wire anyway that I'd like to see forwarded into this discussion.
I also don't know Dennis, but when you look, he was on the University of California Irvine Alumni Board, the Foundation Trustee Board, which means he is a major donor in the UC system, and then on the Law School Board of Advisors, I was impressed.
Jim? Mr. Chairman, in alphabetical order, I will be casting my ballot for Jessica Hassan, Margaret Peggy Lucas, Dennis Nguyen, and Arturo Tuzco. I think they all rise above the others. So
say the last name again.
Arturo Tuzco.
Okay.
Arturo to shoot hard to rounds, but
apologies for speaking so much on this particular group, but I also know Peggy Lucas, and she has been the go-to female for huge decisions in the Twin Cities on boards. She is a developer. She has a great style. She's quiet, but so thorough. I'm sorry for her. She didn't get her application in when she should have, and I understand that, and you'll vote as you need to. This is a top woman in this state. And Terry Bonoff gave me the name of the woman that she was advocating for in private, so I won't share it. Peggy Lucas is in the league of this other woman.
This time, Margaret, I didn't hear who you were talking about, so I was. But thank you for repeating the name. So.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chairman?
I heard a Mr. Chair before Jim. Lois? Sorry.
How are we keeping book on these votes? If we only need to turn in two names for a seat, but if, let's take Dennis Nguyen, if he is chosen as one of the 5th District parties, and then he's also an at-large party, I took to heart the counsel from Mr. Beeson about the importance of life experience under belts when one is on the board. And to that extent, my preference is going to be to not look to any of our exceptionally capable student at-large candidates for filling another seat, because we do have exceptionally capable people with more life experience under their belts. And so now going back to, we have two incumbents in the at-large category. We naturally need to pass on more names than that, and we need to interview more people than that. If Mr. Nguyen is chosen as an interviewee for District 5, is he kind of automatically, headcount-wise, an interviewee also for at-large, or will we need to include him again when we vote for at-large?
I'm quite certain that however we would decide to do it, something would come up that we would maybe want to change it.
A true apology.
I don't mean to discourage your comment.
Okay.
But I'm still processing, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're about to hear the vote on the students, and that might inform these people that are students, and then we don't have to have that, at least on that transition. So if you're ready to announce it, I think that would help us before we voted on this.
I would like to transition back to the student discussion, if we could. So we needed a majority. Candidates need a majority to be advanced. So we have two candidates who received a majority. Ryan Kennedy received 9 votes. And
9 is not a majority.
No, it's majority.
Is 10.
10 is a majority. Yeah, I'm sorry. I misspoke. So we have two leading candidates, Ryan Kennedy and Abdul Omari. There's probably no reason I can't read off the list for everyone.
Correct.
So I'll give you the entire basically a roll call.
Give us the number of votes.
Sure. I will give you that, and then we can decide what to do with that. Eric Berg, and if I pronounce the name wrong, I apologize in advance. Eric Berg, 4. Adam Chalseth, 2. Drew Kovanow, 5. Jeffrey Dittbemener, 1. Laura Dorrell, 7. Chris Hawthorne, 1. Ryan Kennedy, 9. Kyle Kroll, 1. Kevin Lang, 3. Adam Matula, 0. Abdul Omari, 9. Isla Peterson, 1. Joss Preston, 3. Julia Sleasing, 3. Christopher Talstad, 7. Courtney West, 6. Kevin Went, 1. Evan Vogel, 1. And the last two names, 0 for both of them, Moshe Bolovic and Mohammed Yakov. 0 for both of those last two. So going back to our procedures, when a candidate doesn't receive any votes, they're all automatically not included on the next ballot. So we've eliminated 3. We could do any number of things. Harriet?
Could you repeat the names of the 3 that we're eliminating?
Okay, the 3 that we are eliminating are Adam Matula, Moshe Volovic, and Mohammed Yakov.
Yakub.
Thank you.
Pat, I have no idea who was right.
But you said it with such confidence.
We have learned a long time ago that the wrong answer is better than no answer at all.
Than no answer at all. Okay.
We have 6 people that have a 1. Is it possible for the group to say, even on repeated balloting, they are probably not going to become an overwhelming favorite?
It is very possible.
Yes. Probable.
We usually do that by some sort of vote. Voice vote. Was that a motion, Mark?
It's a motion that we take them out of the pool at this point.
Is there a second? Okay, is there discussion?
I think I would like to hear the names again, just okay.
So
list
I will,
the ones with 1.
Before we vote, I will say who has 1 vote.
Okay.
Jeffrey Dittner, and I'll try to say that with more confidence. Jeffrey Dittner, Chris Hawthorne, Kyle Kroll, Isla Peterson, Kevin Went, and Evan Vogel.
Okay.
And all 6 of those had 1 vote. So the motion is to drop them from the next ballot.
And there was a second?
Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor of dropping those 6 names from the next ballot, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So now we have a ballot with 9 fewer names. And I would rather have another vote rather than open it up for further discussion.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Do we get another piece of paper or do we write it down?
Okay. So we'll need to prepare that. So we need just a minute.
Is it appropriate to say again the vote count behind each, or did everybody else get that and I didn't?
Sure.
Are you willing to do that?
With that?
Okay.
Okay, I'll go get it.
As soon as Sally holds it still,
okay.
So I can read it.
Thank you.
Great.
I'll pay more. I'll pay better attention.
Or would you rather have me wait until the new ballot is in front of us?
I don't care. I just, out of fairness, I want to be able to hear it one more time.
It'll be a few minutes here for the ballot. Eric Berg, 4. Adam Chalseth, 2. Drew Kovanaugh, 5. Laura Dorrell, 7. Ryan Kennedy, 9. Kevin Lang, 3. Abdul Omari, 9. Josh Preston, 3. Julia Sleasing, 3. Christopher Talstad, 7. Courtney West, 6.
Thank you.
Yes. So we are pausing a moment while we're waiting for the new ballot to be printed. And
while we do that, Mr. Chairman, might we revert to the 5th District for discussion?
Let's return to the 5th. Thank you.
Might I ask then, I've heard 4 of the non-student at-large names, the pure 5th District names, if you will, mentioned. I'm wondering if anybody else wants to mention any other names so that we put them on the list so at least one person mentions them.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Dennis Nguyen isn't a pure fifth district name.
No, that's but that's right. I understand that. Okay. Yeah.
But he is one of your four.
He is one of my four, yes. Yeah.
I didn't respond to Lois's comment, and it may be redundant, but I guess the chair would hope that if we select someone for an interview, mm-hmm. I would like to assume that we select them for an interview.
Right, and where I would agree with you, yeah. Mr. Chair.
And not put any more
labels on them.
You're selected for an interview.
Yes, yes.
To be a regent.
Yes. That would be my tendency also. Okay. So.
We will not open up discussion, nor will we vote on the 5th until we, I think, finish the voting on the student. Okay. I would rather keep things a little less confusing.
Is it up to date because of the employment announcement?
Compliments to whomever got the students in this pool.
Yeah.
I think this is an exceptional group of students. So somebody did a lot of work.
Yes. I think David Fisher is largely responsible for that.
I mean, this is as good a group of students as I've seen. If you plucked for years out of the university to see that many in a pool.
Remember David's report where he said that there were 1,300 deans and organizations contacted? That was just amazing to me.
Push a button.
I realize that part of it, the role technology played. But just the sheer number of deans and organizations that it totaled on the multiple campuses.
Mr. Chair, are we on the fifth district applications now?
Yes.
And so far there have been four names have been put up?
Actually, all of the names are up, but we're open for comments. So we welcome redundancy.
You do?
To a point.
Is Julia Schlesing's name been submitted? Again, I don't know these people, but I thought that she had an excellent resume and if her name hasn't been submitted, they'll do it.
She is
a student.
She's under consideration for the student position.
Yes, I know she is.
Yep. And she is also under consideration for the fifth.
Okay.
Can I have mine from the last?
Paul, sorry.
No problem.
Paul, stop causing trouble.
So ignore my little lines that got left.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the right end.
Right in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Now I need to go back and see who's
abbreviated. We have 4 minutes left.
We're going to have to agree.
Do we have all the ballots?
Yeah. No.
Yep.
Sorry. Any more?
Yes, I think you go ahead and handle.
Everybody?
Nope. One more.
Oh, sorry. Anybody else?
Don't
mean to rush anybody. Everybody?
So while we are counting the student at large ballots, the fifth district ballots are being passed out. As you will note, staff has starred the student at large positions that also asked to be considered for the fifth. We are not ready to vote on this yet, partly because, and I'm not sure, but there could be a student that we've just selected on this last vote who might be on this ballot, who shouldn't be because they've already been selected. So we'll need to wait to hear the results of the student ballot first. So while we were waiting, and Vice Chair Fisher reminded me that we've got 3 minutes to finish. Any more comments on fifth district candidates?
You invited redundancy a minute ago, and I want to make one more comment about Peggy Lucas, again based on the characteristics that Lois and her group listed and the Rich Beeson comments. I think that Peggy would be someone who can deal with a very large organization from many perspectives, education, her volunteer experience with the university. She's run a business. She's a very active community member.
Mr. Chairman, I did speak, and I mentioned the four that I would be voting for, but I want to call one out by exception, if you will. I think it's fair to say that Jessica Hasten's resume is not as strong as the other three that I mentioned, but I think that David Fisher's point about giving the legislature an opportunity to think about having a labor related or appointed candidate on the ballot is worthwhile. I think it's fair to say her resume isn't as strong, but she has that credential, and I think it should be considered.
Jim, or Chairman, I'd like to reflect on that. I do not think we should have designated seats, whether they're alumni, and I, more than anybody, why not have an alumni association seat, a foundation seat, faculty seat, labor, medicine, law, you go on. These people's resumes need to stand as they are. They are leading a $3.3 billion corporation, and if they can do it, that's great. But designated seats are, I believe, a thing of the past when we were a $1 billion a year university.
Chair?
I would echo that.
Yes.
I agree with that, and then I'd also like to explain why someone with a labor background is critical for a $3 billion institution. There's a lot of renegotiations going around globally between workers and corporate owners, and you just look at the symphony orchestra, what's happening in the news. So I think it's critical at this time to have somebody with that labor background involved with a $3 billion organization. Not a seat, but more so the qualification to be involved in discussions about complex financial organizations.
And I think when we interview Atiro and Dennis, we ask them about their experience in working with people in the labor environment as well. So I agree with you, but it's designating a seat seems to be, as you look at higher education across the United States, old school.
I would say that if we designate a labor situation, we're asking for a potential conflict of interest.
Chairman.
Yes,
Jordan. I come from a background of labor, and somebody said that this is old school or whatever, but from what I recall, Dave Rowe was the president of the AFL-CIO. He was a member for years. Bill Peterson, a personal friend, was a member for years. Excellent regent, representing working families at the university level. I wasn't too happy 2 years ago when the labor position was eliminated, and nobody said a word here about anything negative about Steve Hunter being in that position, but he was eliminated. When Governor Ventura was governor, he elected not to appoint anybody to the regent's position, whether it was labor or not. But I think, whether old school or not, I think the representative of working people, most of the working people in the state, should at least have recognition, whether they get the chair or not, but they should be recognized as running for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say they can't run for it. I thought he said, should there be a designated seat?
Okay. I'm going to pause this discussion of the fifth and move back to the student at large and announce the vote. There are two students who have enough votes now with the majority, Ryan Kennedy and Abdul Omari. I'm going to go through and read the totals, or the vote count as it was. Eric Berg, 2. Adam Chelseth, 2. Drew Covenall, 8. Laura Dorrell, 7. Excuse me.
Just can you slow down a second here?
Yeah, and I'll start over.
Yes, please.
Eric Berg, 2. Adam Chelseth, 2. Drew Covenall, 8. Laura Dorrell, 9. Ryan Kennedy, 10. Kevin Lang, 2. Abdul Omari, 11. Josh Preston, 1. Julius Smischling, 3. Christopher Tulstad, 8. Courtney West, 7.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move to eliminate those receiving two votes or less.
Or less.
Or three.
Three.
Ooh, consensus to three. Three votes or less.
Second.
Okay. I will, it has been moved and seconded to eliminate those student at large with, from this ballot with, or from the next ballot with three votes or less. Any discussion? All in favor? Oh,
aye.
Oh, Joanne had a... Okay. I want to be... Any? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So as I look at it, we have six candidates remaining.
Four, five, six.
And we've approved two, so
yes.
We have four,
oh,
right.
Yeah. Four left. For the,
four left for a ballot.
For up to two that we...
We're up to two now, yeah. Right?
Okay.
No.
Four for two spots.
Well, we can actually invite...
Right.
We could interview all of them.
Can I make that motion?
Second.
Who made the motion?
I made the motion. You to interview the remaining... What's the number total?
Six.
So they got more than eight or seven votes.
It would be
votes.
The remaining four. A 7-8... A 9-8, right? Yeah,
right. But
there's four left on the ballot because two have been approved, and if we accept them all, it would be six.
Okay.
Well, the motion could be just wrap it up in one motion. That's there's right. Six that we're interviewing six.
We're interviewing
yes.
Six.
I think the motion should say six, not.
Okay.
And they received more than seven votes. Correct.
Yeah. Seven. So I heard a motion and a second. Okay, and I'll accept that motion. And for discussion. David?
I just think we're going to have too many interviews. Maybe unfair, but I'll say this. We should advance qualified applicants, and probably regardless of the number of interviews, but we're going to be pretty pressed for a few days that second week of January to get our work done. And in the past, my experience has been, just a warning, it's somewhat chaotic sometimes. And we're rushed, and we're still trying to get, hopefully we'll get our interviews and our references done then, but I think we have to be somewhat careful. In the past, we've been 14 to 16 interviews. That's manageable, but I think beyond that, correct me if I'm wrong, for 45 minutes apiece, we can get quite unmanageable.
Mr. Chair, I don't disagree with you, but as I look forward, it's not outside the realm of possibility that we could be looking at four candidates to be interviewed for the fifth district, and this would be 6, so that's 10. And it's not outside the realm of possibility that we might not be looking at more than 4 for the at-large seat. So that would be 14.
Could I suggest an alternative? We hold this motion until we go through. I already see the flaw in this suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, we have to decide. Hold it.
The chair is going to offer an opinion here, and that is in particularly with the student applications. I read through them, and as a father of two college-age students and two college students, I'm looking at the applications and thinking, I can see maybe a few things that they've done, but I don't know these people at all. I don't have any sense. I don't have a very good sense of the student regents, what they will be able to do as a regent, nearly as much as I do with some of the other categories. I don't want to have a huge number of. I agree with David. I don't want to have a huge number of applications, but I don't know how we maybe get around this. Jim?
Mr. Chairman, 4 interviews times 45 minutes is 180 minutes. 6 interviews times 30 minutes is 180 minutes. And I would be perfectly comfortable interviewing 6 and giving them 30 minutes apiece.
I wouldn't. I don't think that you can tell enough by somebody in that amount of time that's going to sit on a Board of Regents for 6 years. I mean, I'd like an hour if we had it. 30 minutes by the time they talk for 5, Jim. I'd get here at 6 in the morning if we had to interview the right number of students. I'm not judging how many should go forward, but 30 minutes is a lot of lobbying by somebody on behalf of somebody else before anybody walks in the room.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There is the possibility that students will be eligible for other positions. I know you've already expressed an opinion, but we haven't decided that yet. And I think that suggests that we stick with the 4 number, and then there will be additional opportunities for some of those names to surface in another category, in an at-large.
Mr. Chairman, in the vein of what Sonia is saying, I would take the reasoning down a different path, and that's, I don't know how you were using the 4, but to say that let's use the 7, 8, 9, and 8, reading from the bottom up, the 4 who have not yet reached the majority. Let's include them as a total package of 6 as the motion on the floor, because that puts them, as you have already stated in response to my question with regards to Mr. Nguyen, in the interview category, so that the potential for Sonia's line of reasoning to say we may have some students that we would want to consider in the at-large category, they'd already be in our interview pool. And these are the 6 top students that are remaining, and we'd be saying yes to all 6 of them, so that we could take that into consideration when we go then to vote in the at-large category, because we know that we have 5 to some degree candidates that may not be a chosen student regent for our consideration. Does that mesh with your line of reasoning, Sonia?
Oh, I think it's fine, but don't we have a motion on the floor?
Yeah. The motion is to accept the 6, yeah. Yes. So I was speaking in favor of the motion in doing that.
George actually has a comment.
I was just going to call a question on a motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Second.
The motion on the floor is to accept the 6 names that are left on the ballot and invite all 6 for interviews. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries. We are done with the student at large ballot. Moving on to the 5th.
Would we take off?
Would you help us? Are there some on that list that are not on the, are, should be crossed off the fifth year consideration.
Abdul Omari.
Christopher Tasted.
You're the only two?
Ryan Kennedy.
So the ballot for the fifth has just been shortened by two.
And Ryan Kennedy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Ryan Kennedy on there?
Yes. Ryan Kennedy.
Ryan,
yeah.
Kennedy. Okay. Let's make sure Drew isn't. Laura. Are there any more comments on the fifth?
Wasn't it reduced by three? No. Kennedy,
yes.
Omari, and Tested.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
That's me.
Are we leaving Wendt and Bullivant on, or are they off?
Did I?
They are on.
I'm sorry.
Another run up down.
Yep.
What I did.
See if there's support.
Do I have a ballot? Where's my ballot?
This is a slam. We know the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
No. Well,
Jim, who am I voting for again?
But no, it's pretty junior. You had some good, the students for the bill, for a good pool. I'm sure it's not here. It's large. I have enough to get
here.
Just for five. Correct.
You know, there, I wouldn't do more because there are people I would want to do more.
Okay, yeah. Well, but many people that weren't chosen.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we will.
Yeah.
Any more ballots? While we are waiting for the ballot results for the first round, assumed first round,
yeah,
on the fifth, we move on to the at-large or the overall at-large seats. I think we'll consider this as one large pool rather than separating out anything. So we will be talking about at-large once. We have two incumbents in this pool. Is there any discussion on the incumbents?
Well, I have a question.
Yes?
Could we potentially only forward the two names? Do we also have to decide if we're going to go beyond that?
I think we need to forward four names.
Four names, okay.
Because you need chair for each seat.
There are two seats. Why wouldn't we... Right. I'm sorry, I'm speaking out of order.
That's all right.
Okay, why wouldn't we do up to eight names if we wished?
We can.
Okay.
We can. I'm sorry, I took the question, whoever had the question, as could we only forward two names? No, we need to forward two names per seat, and there are two seats.
Oh,
so we
that's
need
to the legislature.
We need to forward a minimum of four. I'm sorry, a minimum of two.
Okay.
A maximum of four. So we need to forward someplace, somewhere between four and eight.
I see.
So our pool needs to be at least four for interview.
Okay.
Jerry?
Our pool for each seat has to be four. No, it doesn't have to be four, but
has to be
I guess let me get to add the numbers together. If you have four people for two seats, there's no purpose in an interview.
Well,
because that would be two for each one already, and you know, it's already done.
Right.
It's already done.
Right.
So I would submit we have to have at least three in order to interview for each seat.
But that goes to my question of are we, in essence, killing two birds with one stone? So we have six people sitting there for one seat in students at large, and they are all eligible to be at large. So we currently have four of those people that are overage because we only have to have two students to send to the legislature. We can send four, but we only have to have two. So from an interview pool perspective, we already have four sitting in the at-large cabinet.
And that's correct, as I understand.
You're right.
Isn't that assuming that we're going to automatically put those students in the large category?
Yes, and I thought we'd already come to that
conclusion. I don't think that's a good assumption.
I think what we're going to do is we, under the student category, we have invited six people for an interview. When we come into the interview process in January, I think we are interviewing regents. And in January, we will recommend, out of the pool of people that we have, we will recommend the student, for the student seat, it has to be a student, but we will recommend the best regent candidates that we can in January. So I think we will defer to Lois's judgment that if there is a student interview that just knocks our socks off, that they may be eligible for the at-large position as well. I don't think we want to tie and limit our. I don't think we want to limit our options in any way today. Back to my point, if I'm not hearing any discussion on the incumbents, I'm going to accept that as an affirmation.
I think you very quickly, or we moved on to something else. I would like to hear from someone about Dean Johnson. I feel very knowledgeable about Linda Cohen. I don't about Dean Johnson.
Okay. Well, Dean Johnson, I think we all know his historical fact. Uh-huh. He has been the majority leader in the Senate for both the Republicans first and Democrats second, so some people can call him a turncoat, but on the other hand, he seems to have a way of working the aisle. And he has been reputed to be a very effective majority leader in my experience appearing before him in a number of committees. He is always a perfect gentleman. He is a general in the, the National Guard. He's a brigadier general, and he's also a confirmed pastor. Of which church? Someone's going to have to come up with that church.
It's a large Lutheran church in Wilmer.
Large Lutheran church. So he is not only well-rounded, but
there's one small Lutheran church.
In any event, I think he's well-rounded by the titles that he holds. He is well-experienced in the positions that he's held. He acquitted himself very nicely on the Board of Regents. From my perspective, I'd like to see him even more forceful than I've seen him be on the Board of Regents. But at the same time, I think he brings a calm, cool voice, and he does some of the backroom work and gets some things done in the committees.
Chair?
Yes?
To respond to Sonia's request, I've had the privilege of working with Regent Johnson as a regent, particularly during his tenure as chair of the Facilities Committee. And I found him to be a good listener, a good connector, and a very helpful resource.
Thank you. Is it one last comment, George, and then we're going to move on?
Very quick. I talked with a regent about both of these candidates, and there was no reservation whatsoever about renominating or reappointing.
Thumbs up for both. Okay, thank you. I'd like to move back to the ballot for the, and this is the fifth, not the announcer. Yep, sorry. Just confusing me here. And I'll announce the vote. First of all, there are three who have received a majority.
Ooh, cool.
Peggy Lucas, Dennis
Nguyen.
Nguyen.
Thank you. I didn't say it with confidence. Nguyen. And the gentleman from
Arturo.
Say no more.
E.T.
E.T. I am not making light of his name at all. I'm making light of myself for not being able to pronounce it correctly. So I will announce the vote total. Peter Bossy, 5. Jeffrey Ditterburner, 1. Jessica Hassan, 7. Peggy Lucas, 14. James McLaughlin, 0. Dennis Ninjan, 17. Mary O'Connor, 0. Julia Sleeshing, 1. E.T., 15.
What about Kevin Christopher?
Yep.
Okay.
There was one who was not, three who were promoted as invited as students. Kevin Wendt, 0, and Moshe Volovic, 0. So as I look at it, there are three, Mario, who had 0, Mary O'Connor, Kevin Wendt, and Moshe Volovic, so that they would be eliminated because of 0 votes.
And the ones.
I'm sorry, and James McLaughlin.
4 zeros.
Thank you. So there are 4 zeros. We have 3 who have been, who have received a majority, and have received, have earned an invitation. That leaves 4, 2 of which have 1 vote each, Jeffrey Ditterburner and Julia Schlesing, and 2 of which are more in the middle of Peter Bossy and Jessica Hassan. David?
Mr. Chair, I would vote to eliminate the ones and advance the others for interview.
I heard a motion and a second to eliminate the ones. That would be Jeffrey Ditterburner and Julius Sleesing. And to advance the other 2 candidates in the middle, Peter Bossy and Jessica Hassan, for interviews. So that would give us 5 candidates from the 5th pool for an open seat. Any comments? Paul?
Just a word of caution. We can talk about the challenge of interviewing people the week that begins Monday the 7th. Between now and then, a lot of us will be occupied with the holidays, and every one of these people that we wish to interview will need to have a buddy who assumes the responsibility for following up with the references. So, and I am the chair of that committee, and I will volunteer. I will follow up with at least 2, but I don't want to find an hour from now that nobody wants to raise their hand to do reference checks. So let's just, you know.
And the reference checks have to be written.
Yeah.
And I agree with Paul. I spent hours and hours and hours trying to find people, schedule them, get the calls done. It's not a light process.
Right. And I don't know, and I'm really glad no one noticed that the sergeant is armed, has already bolted the doors. No one's leaving until we have group participation.
Good.
Okay. But thank you for that point. Jim?
Mr. Chair, just looking, I certainly am concerned about the 45 times a big number. But I think as I look at it practically here, when we get, I don't think we are going to forward 8 names for that 2 slots. Mm-hmm. We've really used up the bullets. And so that lets people slide back and forth. So I want to support David's motion that Peter and Jessica be forwarded. And I think once we've done that and we've forwarded the 2 incumbents, frankly, I see one, frankly, for me, I only see one more that's gonna make the cut, and I'll say who that is. That's Kelly Smith, who is persistent. And we heard from before, and then I look at the rest of the pile, and I've got them here, and I think we're going to end up, that means we're forwarding, 6 and 4 and 5, I guess, not 8. I mean, if you can cut it, but, you know, you put them back and forth. So that's the way I see it, just so you should look forward to what we're going to do next.
Well, I'm going to go back to the question on the floor is to accept the next top 2 vote getters in our last vote for the District 5.
Was there a second to the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Harriet seconded it.
I would like to speak against it. We have had a tradition of paying attention to significant vote total gaps. This is a 2-to-1 vote total gap before you reach the second party, and an even greater gap with regards to before you reach the fourth party, and an even greater gap before you reach the fifth party. To Paul's point about references, they do have to be written. There are three, preferably more than three, for each candidate, because they give you three, and you're asked to go beyond the three that are given. That's no small task. And in the face of having enough to meet our quotas and this significant gap, as well as the strength of the applications for 17, 15, and 14 votes, I would speak against it, and I would also against this motion, and I would also say that I would offer a motion to close the balloting on the 5th district with the three that have made the majority.
Well, I think I'm going to not accept your motion because we have
no, you can't.
On the floor.
No, I was just giving notice that it would come.
That could be coming in the future. Yes. Okay. Well, the way you stated
you
it.
You lost.
Yeah.
So call the question.
I would like to move on to the voting.
Lois, you get a 1,000% transparency.
Pretty sure I think I know what you think. I'd like to move on to the vote, unless there's any relevant discussion. Joanne?
Does the author of the motion want to reconsider or withdraw or amend their motion based on that?
Impassioned plea.
Well, I would say this, that I'll respond. I think that was a question of the author, of the mover. And if the second would agree, I would consider this as a motion in place of what I had proposed. I think that Lois makes a good point. A person who gets five votes out of the total that we have here is a low showing.
It is.
I don't know this individual, but I also feel that seven is probably an adequate showing, particularly since we've had the issues that we've discussed here about having somebody with labor experience before us to speak to us. And so I would substitute this motion for the one I made if the second will allow it, and that is to advance Jessica Hasen, and we're going to have to figure out these pronouncements before we get to the interview, that we advance her to an interview.
Okay. Did it get a second?
Yeah, the second and the mover and the second have both concurred.
I'm a mover.
You're a mover. have both concurred. I saw Bert shaking his head.
Well, I'll take two votes could be made here.
I guess at this point I'll say let's keep this to a procedure question, and then we'll move on to the if it's right or not to move it. But I mean, are we okay with changing the motion?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it as chair. So, okay. So now we're saying, do we advance one and not the other? So the question, Bert. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll say I don't think two votes is a significant factor here to drop one or the other or both, particularly one or the other without dropping the other, and. Especially if we're doing it based on what's in the application, based on what Margaret has said before and where the votes indicate they're at. I think if we're going to do it, we've got three good candidates. We either do three or five.
Okay.
Well, but question.
Now we have a moved and second and motion for four, correct?
Correct.
So we are going to vote on four. Excuse me, three of them are already in. So we're really voting on the The question is, do we accept Jessica and end our voting? So by voting yes, we are saying yes to Jessica and we're ending voting. By saying no means we continue on the 5th District. So all in favor? If there's any confusion, I want to make sure we... So by voting yes, we are saying yes to Jessica and we're stopping further consideration. So all in favor of...
Well, but here, I am intending to vote no for this motion. And in so doing, I believe we are also ending the discussion regarding the 5th District.
I don't think so. We will continue the discussion, and then we're open for more motions or another ballot, of which I would like to keep it moving. So, but
that was kind of my transparent intent also.
Well, it's inferred. I won't say that, but not your intent, but I mean the outcome of the vote. So those in favor of accepting Jessica for interview and ending the voting, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
I would like a show of hands in a revote. That's close. Those in favor, raise your hands, please. I'm not voting. My hand's here. Those opposed? I'm counting seven. So,
motion passes.
So the motion passes. So we will be extending invitations for four for the 5th District.
Point of order. Yeah.
Jerry?
We came up with a different number of votes than we did one earlier.
Oh, someone left.
Yep, we left. Good to see that. Okay.
Quick call it.
Did she leave a ballot for the 5th?
She did.
Shelley?
And
it was counted.
It was counted. Okay, so we have our list for the 5th. So moving on to the at-large. The chair would like to suggest, the chair would entertain a motion to automatically advance the two incumbents.
So moved.
Second.
Or automatically invite the two incumbents.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. So we have a shorter list for the at-large application. The two incumbents are considered invited.
Okay. So is it okay?
Yep, that's fine.
Chair?
Yes, Paul.
We have in front of us 22 names for at-large. It would be helpful for me to go through them and cross off the ones that are no longer going to be considered. Is that going to take a lot of time, or is that something that we can do?
I just did it on the ballot, and she's making copies of it. But if you
thank
to
you.
That's
cool.
Well, why don't we...
While we're waiting for the ballot.
While we're waiting, why don't we go through the list?
Yeah.
And I'm a little ignorant to myself. Right here. Right? Oh, sorry.
Chair?
Yes?
I think I have the names that we can scratch off that are already had made appointments. Ryan Kennedy?
One moment, just so that we're... I'm struggling with the volumes that I've got here.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Even with Sally's help, how do the rest of you do it?
Third set of documents.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you. Oh, it was on my forehead the whole time. Okay, George, if you go ahead.
At least this is what I got. Ryan Kennedy is already in. Christopher Tastad and Courtney West. Those three names have already been at best.
And Dennis Nugent.
And Peggy Lucas.
Peggy Lucas.
Peggy Lucas.
Okay. Now,
Kathy has the zeros as well that got no votes from before.
To to Joanne's point, so we deleted for both student at large and 5th congressional district people that either on ballot 1 or ballot 2 got 0, 1, and, or 2.
Second.
Can we let that prevail for the at large as well?
I would not do that without a vote. If we would like to make that.
I move that for our deliberations regarding the at-large applicants, that where the applicant was deleted from either the student at-large or the 5th congressional district for lack of support, that they similarly be deleted before we discuss at-large candidates.
Mr. Chair, could lack of support be defined numerically, as in 0 or 1 or something
zero,
like that?
2 or less. I mean, that's my definition of lack of support.
Okay. That sounds like a definition. Is there
second?
I'm sorry.
I'll second, but I do have the numbers too.
Okay, I will give you the second, and then I'm going to ask for the numbers, so that we understand who we're talking about before we vote.
Okay, Jeffrey Ditburner. Did I say that with enough?
Yes.
Adam Matula, Mary O'Connor.
Whoa. Adam Matula. Mm-hmm. Mary O'Connor.
Julia Schlesing.
Okay.
Kevin Wynn. Evan Vogel. Moshe Volovic.
Did you read those again?
Eric Berg on there?
Sure.
What about Al?
I had Jeffrey Ditburner, Adam Matula, Mary O'Connor, Julia Schlesing, Kevin Wendt, Evan Vogel, Moshe Volovic.
And James McLaughlin got 0 as well?
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Kathy, were you using my lack of support definition?
2 or less. Oh, sorry. I was using 1 or less. For the 2.
1 or less. Okay, so we got them. But
well, I've also...
With Adam, then.
With
Adam Chelseth would also...
Yep, Adam Chelseth would be 2 or less, and that was the motion maker's wish.
Yeah, okay. So then I think we've got everybody.
Eric Berg got 2 on the second ballot the last time we voted.
He's not in the at-large.
He's not on the current list. Yep.
Okay. A good catch. Our list is getting short.
So if we
approve this, we will have a ballot with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names. Excuse me, 5.
I have 7.
You have 7.
I have 8.
Bert has 8.
I have 5.
You have 5.
We've advanced it to the end.
I have 0.
I think it's important to know. We will have a much shorter list. My list shows that it would be Daniel Bittman, Peter Bossy, Joseph Graft, Josh Preston, Kelly Smith.
What was
McLaughlin off? Oh, Al's off. What happened to Al's off?
Oops, we missed one.
Al Zidane, way down.
Al Zidane.
We couldn't have voted on him.
No, because he's
this is the only one he applied for.
Yeah. Yep. So our error. So it would leave 6.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor to substantially shorten our list by eliminating those with 2 or less, which we've identified, which will leave 6 remaining to add to the 2 incumbents. The 2 incumbents have already advanced, so we will have a pool of 6 to select from.
Not presuming any additions.
Correct. We will then select from that pool of 6 to see if we want to have additions.
Right.
Right. Everyone clear on that? Okay. Is there any discussion? We shall vote. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Our list just got shortened. Okay, and we've been promised an ugly ballot. Actually, I'm going to say a creative ballot.
Mr. Chair?
So diplomatic.
I have teenagers. Yes.
Are the applications now open then for the remainder of the balloting?
The discussion, yes.
Okay, I would
please.
Like to, again, I don't know any of these people, but Al Zidane application to me jumped off of the paper. So I would put his name in for...
What jumped out at you?
Well, I gave him a score of 15 on my scheduling. I think it had mostly to do with his background and the answers to the questions, but a lot of it had to do with the background and the service.
Did we interview Kelly Smith?
Yes.
And he was recommended to the legislature. He progressed to the legislature.
Okay.
Good.
I think I was his buddy.
How quickly we forget.
Then I'm sure he'll enjoy hearing from you again.
From me again, yes. I'll just stop on the way home. Sonia.
What time were you supposed to meet him? That's why you want to get early.
Pardon me. I want to speak on behalf of Josh Preston. I don't know him at all. But we talked earlier about how some people will just tell what they understand the university needs. And in his case, he very often added a solution. He either talked specifically about something he had done that was relevant or an example of something that should be done. And I like his specificity and think he adds something that many others don't have. Okay, for every question but one, he added a solution.
Sonia, I didn't mean to tail off there. I was starting to look at
my bell. Right.
Jim?
Yeah, I would speak again. I mentioned on behalf of Kelly Smith, those that are new here, he was a very wonderful candidate. I think the ding on him, and my recollection was we did not recommend him.
No, he went before the legislature. And was
okay, then I'm different. But but I thought the only hit on him was that he's got a big superintendent job, and it would be tough to do two what are full-time jobs. But I think if he is persistent, and so I strongly support him. His resume, I think, made the grade then, and I did it again. I might just, Mr. Chairman, I might just point out, we have an interesting anomaly here. I talked about it before. We, on the first cut, picked two students and then expanded it to four, so six students are going forward, and they could be at large, too, okay. Of course. We first picked three Fifth District folks and expanded it by one, so four are going forward. Two are going forward now from the at-large, the incumbents, which we've already done. It's entirely possible that we have zero, one, or two going forward. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, for two, that's four for at-large and four for... I think with that circumstance, in this unusual case where every 6 years there are two at-larges up, I would encourage the legislature to think of those last two categories expansively. So somebody that applied for the 5th District and is second place, I would hope they would think about being in that large slot.
I agree.
Now, obviously we have incumbents in the at-large slot, but I think that's the way it'll work out. So it's an interesting, usually we'd have fewer in one district and a lot more. So that's what it's going to be, one or two, but I just wanted to point out the numbers, and I'm supportive of Kelly Smith when we vote.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, I hear a comment.
With regards to the disagreement between Jim and myself,
I don't remember. Mr.
Smith went to the Joint Committee, did not progress out of the Joint Committee.
Hmm. So he went through our process and was recommended.
Right.
That says something about the man's character 6 years ago, or the man's interests.
That was 2 years. That was just.
Oh, I'm curious.
2 years.
Yeah. Yes, I'm quick. Are there any more comments for the fifth, or excuse me, for at large? Make sure I voted enough times.
What if you don't want to vote?
I shouldn't have voted as many times.
How about four on one?
Yeah. I don't know if they could come to that.
Spoiled ballot.
So while they're counting ballots, one of the items that, and the reasons that the doors are bolted, is that we need to assign the buddy. And the buddy is the person, and we used to have a better name for it, Paul, but I like the buddy. That works. The buddy is the person who will, this afternoon, preferably before you leave the Capitol grounds, try to contact the person who you volunteer for and to let them know that they have been selected by this committee for an interview, to be invited for an interview, and that they will receive contact from Sally and the staff at the office to set up a time and to let them know the details. And to also offer your availability and your support for any questions that they may have, to be a kind of a liaison or a contact person. And certainly they're able to contact Sally or any member, but to give it a little personal touch. Jim?
I would, if we're bidding, I would like to call Arturo Tushu and to pay, I will take one of the students that none of us knows probably and solve that problem.
I will take Abdul.
Well, just someone needs to keep record here and staff is busy. Okay, so I heard Jim say
Arturo Tushu and any student you want assigned to me.
Okay.
And actually, okay.
And Paul was next on the draw.
I will take Abdul.
Abdul Omari?
Yes.
Okay. I will take Linda Cohen.
Oh.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, I heard Linda Cohen.
Okay.
For Margaret.
True. I'll do Drew.
Drew? Okay. Are you keeping up?
I'll take Peggy Lucas, and Sonia.
And then Lois?
I'll take Nugent. And Mr. Chair, I would like to recommend, in light of the hour and the bolted door, that those of us who take notification simultaneously agree to take reference check.
Oh, yeah.
I have no issue with that.
I thought that's what we were signing up for.
No, we're actually signing to be the buddy at first, but Lois is suggesting
this
going to be the buddy, you're going to do the reference checks.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't take the cream without
I'll take
milk and the
cow. You can't take the cream without the curdle.
Yeah. Dave and then Dan.
Well, I'll take Dean Johnson, Ryan Kennedy, and Courtney West.
Are you sure you want? There's maybe not enough to go around if some of us take too many.
Well, the two students are in my school, so they're right there.
Dan?
I'll take Christopher Tested.
Maybe to Courtney West as well.
Yes. Thank you, Dan. Oh, we'll see.
I mean, I'm actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Laura?
All right. Doral. I can do the Laura. I don't know any of them.
Sometimes it's an advantage to not know them. And Jessica Hassan. Okay, we've got Jennifer for Jessica. So that leaves the remaining four on the ballot. Thank you for making that so far very...
Really? We have more than half coverage with this...
Well,
great.
You're doing the
rest,
right?
Yes. No, I'm not,
they went very quickly.
Could I just make a point? Earlier you were saying if we're a buddy, we're supporting, that giving support to them, and aren't we in some way saying to, I mean, we're not implying that we personally support their candidacy, I would think.
No. Your correction is
okay.
Is welcome.
Yeah, okay. I think that's helpful to clarify it.
Your
so that
correct.
We make that. So we don't have to say it to them, but we don't imply.
So perhaps the term buddy is maybe not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So in one role, you're going to.
Liaison.
Your liaison.
Yeah. Yes.
You're going to call
Thank
them
you.
I'm going to call it a special appointment. A specialist. So,
liaison.
So now that we have our specialists, your first role today will be to call the invited applicants and to let them know before any press release can hit the wires or anything, and to let them know that they're selected so that they hear it from us first. We think that's important.
And do we have a date to tell them?
No.
They will be invited for the interview the week of the 7th.
But they'll get a call from the office.
The week of.
Sally just reminded me that we need to pick those dates for interview, and part of that will depend on how many we have, so I think we'll wait till we're done with voting. There's also another item of unfinished business, if I may, that I'll tell you about the unfinished business. During Harriet's report, there was a list of criteria recommendations that I think we did not vote on, and we should vote on it to make sure it's a part of our official record. So when we finish the voting results here, Harriet, I'm going to go back to you to talk about that criteria, if I'm right. Okay, so the at-large ballot, the results. There is one who's received a majority, Kelly Smith. So the results of the ballot is Daniel Bittman, 3, Peter Bossy, 4, Joseph Graeft, 3, Josh Preston, 5, Kelly Smith, 14. I'll do it again. Al Zidane, 7. At the top, Daniel Bittman, 3, Peter Bossy, 4, Joseph Graeft, 3, Josh Preston, 5, Kelly Smith, 14, Al Zidane, 7. So we have Kelly Smith is invited.
Mm-hmm.
David?
Mr. Chair, for the sake of consistency, I would move Al Zidane and close the ballot.
Second.
Do nothing but.
Okay, I have. It has been moved and seconded to invite Al Zidane and to close the ballot. Any discussion? Thinking they're worn out today. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you. We are done with our voting today on the balloting. So we have 4 that we have invited from the at-large ballot. So we have an additional 2 that we need to find special liaisons for.
Mm-hmm.
George?
I'll call Mr. Al Zidane, not Dizon.
Okay, thank you.
I've been struggling today.
And Kat?
Is that what I have?
No, Kelly Smith.
Kelly Smith.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Good.
When
will the date be set? I know you said they aren't set because I know a number of us have to plan around that.
So as we look at the week of the 7th, I guess the date that we really need to worry about is the 15th, and it's the date that we are required to submit the names to the legislature.
That's a Tuesday.
And that's a, for some reason I thought it was a Monday, Paul, but it is a Tuesday, the 15th?
Yes.
Okay. And that is the date, Sally, the 15th? Okay. So we need to be done with our work and have a recommendation to the legislature by Tuesday. We've traditionally done it the week before to give plenty of staff time and so forth to allow people to know what's going on. So the week of the, and I haven't got my calendar open here yet, but the week of the 7th, is that Monday the 7th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we have, let's just talk through the logistics. We have 6 from the student category, 4 is 10, and 4, so we're at 14.
Mm-hmm.
We have done that in a 4-day block before. Excuse me, a 3-day block before. Let's not make it any more painful than necessary. So a 3-day block before. So would a Wednesday through Friday situation be good? Tuesday, Thursday? At this point, I don't know if there's a preference from staff, if there's a preference from anyone else.
Mr. Chair, if, I can't be here the second week.
That whole second week?
You mean the 7th through whatever you can't be?
Convention for nursery doors. The past That's tradition and possibly even the statute of this group is that in order to vote on the final day when we do our voting, so we spend 3 days of interviews, and on the last afternoon we have an afternoon of voting, assuming afternoon, not evening of voting. In order to vote, you have to have sat through and listened, you have to have listened to every interview. So if someone is absent, if you're here for all the interviews but one or two, or actually even more than that, if you miss an interview, there is a procedure where you can review the interview by electronic means, online. This is meant for if you miss an interview or two. So, Bert, I think you had the conflict 2 years ago as well. So if somebody has a conflict with a short portion of time, there is a mechanism.
You were giving us options as far as which days we meet?
Yes. I'm asking for a preference.
I have preferences that the earlier part of the week.
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. Jennifer?
My boss is a state legislator, so I will only have Monday with him, and I will see him for a while. So Monday the 17th.
Is Monday bad for you? Is that the first day of the session, or do they meet Wednesday the week before, or Wednesday that week?
The session doesn't start till Wednesday of that week. So
well, he probably is a committee chair.
Tuesday
of that week. Tuesday. At the 8th.
At noon.
The 8th, yeah.
Does that make a difference to most of us?
Wednesday, Thursday. There's not
going to
be anything Wednesday.
What?
So,
That's what we got.
If it's the preference of everyone to start Monday, I can
sure.
do something. But if there's a later item that everybody agrees on, though.
I think we have typically met mid to late week.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'm going to propose we do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Is there a strong objection to that?
That's 8, 9, 10, correct? Okay.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week. Okay.
So we can tell our liaison-y that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And Lois, could you re-enter
your social security number?
Sure. They can have anything.
Yeah.
Could you retell us how you would like us to prepare in writing our summary of information?
We will get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's the next agenda item, I think.
Yep, I think it is as well. I'm just making sure we're wrapping up. So we have special liaisons for everyone. And Sally has that list.
Yep. Sally and I can get that from you before.
You sure can.
Thank you.
Okay. And again, it's important to contact your candidate. And let them know that they've been invited this afternoon if you can. And if you can't, obviously, if you can't reach them, you do your best to reach them when you can. Dale.
One of the other things that we've done in past week, it's not as enjoyable of a process, but calling those who do not make the next piece of it. I think we had made calls. Have we changed that process?
That happens after the interviews.
After the interview. So this piece is a letter, and then it's a call on the other.
Oh. Yeah.
I thought we had called previously those who did not make it, and but.
So they didn't hear it in the press.
No. We had 32 applicants. Correct. 33. 16 of them are moving forward. 16 or not is are the 16 not what Bill is asking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is it.
Okay.
As a courtesy, I don't know. I think previously we did call them. Because I remember having some return calls in response. I'd be willing to call five of them if we're doing it. I'll just go out on the limb there.
I don't remember that we had or hadn't, but we could.
We did.
They shouldn't hear when they pick up the Star Tribune or the Pioneer Press who the shortlist is. It's a courtesy to call them.
Okay.
They're laughing because I said short list.
So let's see what kind of support we get. Bill, you said you'd do five.
I go ahead and call five. It's not as much fun, I'll tell you.
Yeah, someone else. I'll certainly do a few.
Is Sally going to assign those then? Or what?
Well, we'll...
Are we going to do it today? Or?
Yeah, we'll assign it.
We should
it
do
right
it
now.
Today. I did it last year, I think.
Yep, those calls I would think would need to be made right now. Jim, are you...
Yeah, sure. Give me some names.
In for a few?
Okay. Go down the list.
How many, if you say how many you'll call, they'll give us... can you assign them to us?
Sure. Yeah,
sure, if we each do five, we've got pretty much the list covered. Okay. Unless somebody else wants in on the... so how about if we meet afterwards and we'll sort through that? Jim, are you okay, Steve?
No, oh, it is.
No, no,
it
no, is. It is the
they're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about calling the the ones who did not make it.
Because they worked hard on those applications.
Yes, they did. And, Margaret, I agree with your... It's just, I don't believe we have... Bill and I disagree that I don't believe we have done that in the past.
I thought I did it.
I did do it the last time after we left this meeting. I went home and made those
calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I stand corrected. Other... Item, yeah, that's why. Other items of business, we need to have Paul in the reference check. Okay, thank you.
Does everybody have in their hand the item that was in their packet that's headlined RCAC References Committee Recommendation?
I gave it away. I do.
Paul, would you give me the title of that one more time?
RCAC References Committee Recommendation, 2012-13. So, most, if not all of us around the table, have volunteered to be a liaison with one of the 16 names that are being advanced to the in-person interviews January 8th, 9th, and 10th. And so you will need to follow these guidelines, and in particular, we can just note that we need to have completed the interviews and converted them to writing before we meet on January 8th. So you can start right away, but you need to be finished by, I guess in my mind, I would say January 4th, which is the Friday, you know, before we start meeting. So we've got 4 weeks to do our work. You don't have to. It's best, if possible, that in addition to following up with the references that are listed on the application, and you need to make sure that you'll at least have the application for the person that you'll be contacting, and you need to follow up with those names. There will be a few instances when it may not be possible to make contact on a timely basis. The person may be out of the country for a month or something of that sort. So what you need to do in that instance is to be creative in looking at the person and beginning to get a sense from an early interview that you'll be conducting on the telephone. Some others that you might know in your network that could replace one that's not available. So you can see in the next it says it may be impossible to contact three references, but I think that's going to be a rare instance. So in addition... And Sally, I don't know. It's just attached. If you can see, beginning on page 3 or page 2 of your handout on the back side, this is a guide for you to use when you are on the telephone with the reference. I think we've all learned through personal experience that in this process, it's best to have consciously in mind open-ended questions. Question number one, how long have you known the person and in what capacity, doesn't qualify or open-ended, but it's important to establish whether Abdul Amari has known Robert Jones for 1 month or 1 year or 5 years, kind of thing. These are good guidelines. I think you have to use your best judgment as to whether or not you want to go beyond these questions, but knowing that you will be responsible for summarizing your on-telephone interview in writing so that that information can be shared with all of us before we start the interview process on Tuesday morning, January 8th of 2013. So look down on the bottom of the first page where it talks about the results of the reference checking. Sally, did you give me our code suggestion, or you had shown it to me? I can't remember.
I've got so much paper.
But,
I can find mine if you would like it.
I just had a stack.
Mine's right here.
Okay.
Let me find.
Okay, thank you. Will you want five? You got five?
My copies?
Okay.
I got five somewhere.
Thank you.
John, you want it in writing by Friday before we meet, the 4th?
My suggestion is that you get them to Sally by Friday afternoon, the 4th of January. And then she will be responsible for assembling them.
Okay. Will we get them, like, on Monday before we meet on Tuesday to have looked them over?
No, we actually, what will probably happen is they won't be distributed to us until we meet on Tuesday. And then as we meet, then we'll discuss them one by one. So we won't discuss them in advance.
And we won't read them in advance. We won't be reading one another's in advance.
Well, I'm not anticipating that we would, but you bring up a good point.
It's harder to read fast than listen fast.
Yeah. I would hope that the liaison would hold our hands and lead us through.
Yeah.
And we would have maybe have a written document in front of us, but the liaison would say, here are the high points. I would expect that many of these references, we will hear glowing remarks.
If I may, Ms. Chair, I'm hoping that the liaisons we actually write up nothing more than pretty cryptic notes.
Yes, that's great.
Yep.
High points.
High points.
And these do not need to be long documents.
Correct. But you still want them turned in. Okay.
I think in order...
In order to discuss the references in an open meeting.
We need to protect the open honesty of references by keeping them as anonymous as possible.
So
reference number one.
Now I'll hand it out.
But most of the people checked off that their answers could be released to the press or public, right?
In the application.
In the application.
Yes, but this is specific to the references.
Yeah.
And I think in order to protect and to make sure our answers are honest and transparent, we need to not even give the references the option. References should be kept unless they specifically ask to be identified. References need to be kept.
Let's clarify that. Okay. So Abdul said, yes, you can make my address public.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I've seen him check it's okay to tell the public who my four references are. All right.
I
applications.
If the applicant does want the references known, it's up to the applicant. They can have that information disclosed, but it's private data, so we don't put on there a check if you want your references.
It's just the answers to the questions.
Right. Yes. That's different. The references is the section of private data.
Even if Abdul Omari wanted the world to know that one of his references was Alan Page, the public will not know what Alan Page has said to me over the telephone. That is private data.
Except now that you've said it.
Whatever. Okay. That reference number one. Okay. So I won't tell them who the other three people are.
But you've already mentioned a second in your conversations.
So.
Hypothetically.
Already in their apps.
So but that's the reason for. I mean, it's going to be reference 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever. So that's maintaining the confidentiality of the information.
Mr. Chair, and I might mention as well, we've done this before, but to remind us that it isn't necessary just to stick to that list of references. If there are other avenues of inquiry that we'd like to explore, any information on that application that leads to that avenue is fair game.
I would make that point stronger. Please go beyond the list of references in order to dig. And then we're not necessarily digging for dirt, but further affirmation.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's page 2 of the document has the sample language of how to share with the reference that it is going to be written down, and obviously the document doesn't have to be quoted, but it is there for you to remind you that you do need to tell them that you are taking notes. And if anybody does want a little bit more chapter and verse, Sally talked with counsel and does have some more language in that regard.
Yeah, if you have questions, I'll try to contact me and give you a
look. Chair?
Yes.
When I did references 1 year, I just took this document, and after I talked to them on the phone, they say, well, can you send me something? I just sent them the questionnaire, they filled it out and sent it back to me, and then you read that.
And you can do that. The only thing to be, I want to clarify is that if somebody, a reference, you are conducting asset vacancy, what you are writing down, you can't share that with them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a hiccup in the law that the data is private on the applicant, not necessarily the reference. So if that becomes an issue, then you can say, how would I just email you these questions, and you can email me back the answers. And
it makes it simple for everybody.
It would be very useful if you would send us an electronic copy.
I will.
Okay.
And as you have questions through this reference process, ask Paul or Sally, or I don't know how much help I can be, but
we've got your number.
Yes, that's it.
Speaking of numbers, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I don't have my data or an electronic device to be able to get it. To get the telephone numbers of who's supposed to call, is that something we could get from Sally or right at the conclusion?
Come up to the front. There may be
the application.
Yeah, there's packets.
There's packets up here yet of applications.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
We still have one more vote before we lose our quorum. Harriet, to finish up your committee report.
I'm not going to take this.
Yes, actually we do if we can.
Yes, we actually went through the changes that were made on the document, so we respectfully submit these to the committee.
Okay, and those changes were, just read the ones.
Sure. Under the personal section, under the selection criteria for candidates for the University of Minnesota Board of Regents, under the personal section, number one, we added a comma after the word state and added the words nation and world. In the personal section, number 10, that should now read an ability based on candidate's own persona to satisfy needs of the board based on diversity in geography, gender, race, occupation, and international awareness. And then in the bottom section, professional and experiential, number three should now read experience in the governance of large complex organizations operating in a national and global context.
Those are in response to trying to get more of a global attitude mm-hmm. to our criteria. You are moving passage of this. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, by Bill. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. The last item on the agenda, if you can bear with us a few more minutes, is a discussion about how we will vote in January, what method we will use. Sometimes it's a little bit magical to me how we can interview for 3 days and then in a couple hours we somehow manage to vote and reach an agreement on who we recommend to the legislature. David has an alternative to how we have voted in the past, but before we get to that, I want to ask Sally if she would give us two pieces of information. One, if you can explain how we have voted in the past. Magically. And the other piece is, do we need to approve this today in order to make a change for how we vote in January, or could we vote in January and say, this is how we're going to vote today? Or
I'll answer the second one first.
Okay.
Because you'd think after like 7 years of doing the voting, I would have it done. I believe the RCAC adopted rules say as long as each member must see the change 7 days before voting on it. So
okay.
It would be something that if you had this change, we could email out to everybody so they were aware of it and could come in and vote at the January meeting if the voting procedures change.
So as long as we distributed 7 days in advance and said this is
right.
a proposal.
Before voting.
So we don't have to vote on it today.
No. And you want me to go through how you vote?
Well, if you can explain it, and then we'll have David explain the alternative that is to be considered.
Mr. Chair, use the term for it, so in case some people have gone through church circles, they might recognize it. It's
okay.
Ecclesiastical
okay.
voting style.
Lois would probably better explain it than me.
Ecclesiastical.
So you need a supermajority of the entire council membership to put someone forth on the first ballot to be recommended to the legislature. And on that first ballot, similar to today, you can vote for up to four candidates. If they receive, when we have 24 members, 16, that individual with the highest or two highest is selected to go forward. And if no candidate receives 16 or no votes, there's no selection. And similar today, the no votes are eliminated, but also the candidate with the fewest votes is also eliminated. It's actually clear when you read that. And then subsequent ballots will include all remaining candidates, excluding those elected and those eliminated. And then, yeah, the process for the elimination is the same. Just reading the document. I mean, it's basically on these last two pages.
And then it usually, what practice has been is it usually was very similar to today when somebody was just above the minimum to be disqualified in order to speed things up, we oftentimes have votes, sometimes which actually took longer than if we would have just voted. So, but that's how we've done it, and it has been a mechanism that has served us. So David has an alternative that he would like to explain called a ranked choice voting. He has a handout to pass out, and then...
I can.
If you don't mind.
But I need to keep one so I remember what
okay.
it is that it says.
Well, actually, I'll give half.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you this way.
Does the legislature have decision maker or any of the technology that everybody uses when they vote on stuff like this?
No.
Oh.
Thank you. There's no ranked voting as
no,
part
no.
of
I meant it's electronic. You each have a keypad and it throws it up on the screen.
No, people know a little bit about ranked choice voting, but my proposal would be this. And the reason that I've suggested this is for part of the reason that Chair Duncanson just indicated. We get to the point where it gets fairly chaotic during the voting process. We're eliminating people, we're piling people up. And in my view, what we're really doing is we're ranking people. So my proposal would simply be this, and it's only a proposal. I'm not wedded to this, by the way. I would not change the supermajority vote. I think we do have to have 16 votes to get somebody over the top in this process. That's a matter of integrity. but rather than have multiple ballots, so we have one ballot where we each rank our choices of those candidates that we're voting for, and it'd be, you know, that number of candidates that are necessary for the positions open. And we'd have a lengthier list than that, but we'd choose, say, four out of eight, for instance, four positions that we're choosing for, but we'd rank them in rank order 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it's just a matter of the count. And this is, now we're turning over to our administrative staff to do the first count. Those who, of course, get 16 first-place ballots prevail, and then we drop people off who did not get sufficient ballots at the bottom and redistribute those ballots.
As a question...
Chair and David, my guess is we will still have 19 members on the 8th of January. So the supermajority is 13, not 16.
I guess it is just whatever I was going with what was just remarked about the voting procedure. And it does say 16 in there, but it does adjust because we don't have five members.
All right, thank you.
So would a supermajority, just in Joanne's, would a supermajority be, if someone got 16 votes, but they were a combination of 1 through 4 votes, would that qualify as a supermajority?
Or
13?
You go through first and count the number one preference. If that equals the supermajority number, they are recommended to the legislature. If they are 14, they're two. I'm using 16 again, for example.
Okay.
But if they are 14, too short, and nobody is elected at that point, the idea would be to drop, as the rules call for, those who did not receive any ballots or received too few ballots, the least amount of ballots, and those ballots would be redistributed. So anyone who received a first preference ballot and is dropped are redistributed to their second choice. That could move that number 14 person up to 16, and suddenly they're elected. That's a matter of the voting process. It's not a ballot that comes back to us to re-ballot.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Loth? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was asking a question.
I had said Joanne.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Joanne.
And I'd cut her off.
So do you have to rank 4 in that process, or before you could vote up to 4? So maybe you only want to rank 1 and a 2. You don't want to do 3 and 4.
Very good question.
Right.
You can do that.
Okay.
Will it fail? Sure.
Now, Lois, do you have a further comment?
Mine is plainly and simply, I like being able to have continuing control of what my decision process is going to be. And it feels like it's all gone in one fell swoop with this.
Back to the senator's comments today, whether we rank them or not, and this isn't a question of ranking, but because of the voting, it will force us to personally rank them, not as a council. What we're really asking is this candidate one of the best to advance as a region? That's the question at the end of the day that we need to answer. And there are some that are clearly, this person is a great region, and there are some that are, well, we're not so sure, let's not advance them. I'm trying to think which voting method helps us get to that decision, and that's really the question to me. David.
And what I may recommend, Mr. Chair, is after we get done with our discussion today, that I'll nominate our staff administrator to perhaps accept questions, and we can try to answer questions about this process. I'm not going to tell you that I've thought all this through. It just makes sense as an alternative voting method. And then be prepared to come to the next session we have and vote it up or down. Or if you vote, frankly, change the procedure from what we're doing now in writing.
Sally, would it be okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Would it be okay to prepare a comment? And I'm going to say information for council members to have the two methods of voting sent out at least 7 days in advance so that we can review and then when we meet in January, if we will have discussion and make a change if we agree to. Otherwise, we'll continue on.
If I might just ask a question, I think I understand that the benefit of this is efficiency and also ascribing a rank order and perhaps, maybe not, maintaining greater decorum. Maybe those, but
sounds like it covers it.
Well, I'm just wondering: are those the benefits? And then, if there's some further, but is there a downside to this in anybody's experience?
Has anyone used it?
Well, the city of Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis
using
uses it
in public voting effectively.
Okay, so the city of Minneapolis is using it
in their local ballots. But I can't speak much to that. We go as much as we do and vote as we normally do. So all of this is back office work. You love this idea, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that's. I've been pushed here.
This
isn't
so bad.
Is staff recommending that we consider this or have an neutral?
Well, I'm kind of
where Lois is. I'm not feeling this. And you know me, I have a strong opinion on everything. I'm not getting it quite. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, part of my recollection is that perchance it goes to the decorum question that Phil referenced and decorum isn't one of my strong points. So we'll cast a ballot and it'll come back and there's sometimes a few more comments that are made before the second ballot is done so that you get a chance to run things through in your mind one more time as to whether you're going to do I'm just going to cast one ballot this time and not two, because I can cast two, and you can think a little bit about how you want to place your strength. And if I'm understanding this correctly, those things, you know, the 14 could become 16, you know, through the secondary application as a result of the first ballot, and you don't ever get that second run at how you played your cards. And I'm not personally ready for that.
We do not need to make a decision on this today. If you're ready to kill it now and to say let's do the old system or to approve the new one, we can. I would recommend why don't we wait until January, and we'll have further discussion and we'll see if we want to make a change. Yep, Harriet.
I personally would just like this time between now and then to research it a little bit more. So I feel comfortable with it.
Comfortable waiting? Okay.
I'll vote yes for your motion.
Okay. It really wasn't, but I
A question I have, if it is tabled and we vote in January, should we also be thinking about that other issue that was raised today with regard to rank order, giving them to the legislature or not? Would you like comment on that in January as well? I mean, it seems that
we
it kind of...
comment on that.
Yep, that will happen.
Without further ado.
Wait, Jane isn't here.
Yes. Yes. So we are going to wait to take any action on this until January. In the meantime, all council members will be notified so that if we'll meet the requirement if we want to make a change. With a 7-day notice, Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I have a liaison question.
Okay.
My liaisonee applied for both student and either fifth district or at large.
Doesn't matter.
I would like to tell this person that they are being advanced as a student candidate. Is that appropriate or not?
I think they are invited for an interview to be a regent.
Thank you.
They were selected on the student ballot.